I'd ask you to please turn with me to the Gospel of John and chapter 19 and verse 30. The Gospel of John and chapter 19 and verse 30. And that is page 1248. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. And we come this evening to the sixth of the seven so-called sayings of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ upon the cross. And the statement this evening is, "It is finished." Now, the Bible, as you know, is full of perfect and profound statements. Statements which teach us. Statements which comfort, and yet statements which challenge us and convict us. And these words, which we find in God's holy book, His Word, contain such depth and significance that your eternal destiny depends upon the truthfulness of God's Word. And God calls us to believe by faith in His Word as the truth, and the statements therein as absolutely true, as certain truth. Now, never has the expression "it is finished" carried such meaning. It's a phrase that we use ourselves hundreds of times during our life. It is finished. We've finished this project. We've finished this particular duty. It is finished. But never have these words, "it is finished," carried such meaning as when Jesus spoke them upon the cross at Calvary. The word translated "finished" was used in the time of Jesus by merchants when a debt had been paid in full. "Finished. This is fully paid for." And in the original Greek language in which the New Testament was written, "it is finished" was actually just one word. And it means in an absolute manner, it has most assuredly been completed. There is no room for doubt. There is no room here for us to question. When the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, made man, the God-man, stated, "It is finished," it was absolutely certain and absolutely true. And this statement, "it is finished," spoken by Jesus at Calvary, has a profound then and a deep meaning for us. "It is finished." May God help us to rest by faith in this statement this evening. Well, "it is finished." It means the work that Christ has been sent to this world to do is complete. We know that He perfectly kept the commandments of God to the uttermost, without the slightest deviation of sin. He perfectly fulfilled the prophecies and promises about His person and work upon the cross. He perfectly fulfilled His mission that He had been sent to this world to fulfill, the Saviour of sinners. What good news that is for us this evening, friends. He's the Saviour of sinners. Jesus said, "I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And we're all sinners. So there must be something here, some good news here for us this evening. Jesus is the Saviour of sinners. The sufferings of Jesus Christ upon the cross at Calvary is a one-off completed work. It will never be repeated. It never needs to be repeated. Now, there are hundreds of jobs that we have in life which we know when we are finished, they'll come again, like the cutting the grass. Somebody asked me this afternoon, "How often do I cut the grass at home?" And this friend said to me, "Maybe once a month." I said, "No, sometimes even twice a week. I'm very precious about my lawn." And You know when you've cut the grass, and you know, well, this isn't in the summertime, this isn't the finish. It's a few days' time, it's going to need cutting again. It's like it with the washing up. But when Christ said upon the cross, it is finished, it's a one-off completed work. It is finished. There is nothing we can add to it, and there is most assuredly nothing we can take away. Do you not know this evening that the sufferings of Christ on Calvary's cross are all sufficient for the forgiveness of your sins and all sufficient to save you unto the uttermost? So let us allow these words to sink into our minds in the quietness of God's house this evening. It is finished. On the cross at Calvary, this means completion in its absolute sense, not just for time, but for eternity. There's never ever going to be a time, whether in time state now or looking right into eternity, where God the Father will say, we need to relook at this. I'm not quite sure whether or not the sufferings of Christ fully accomplished the work I designed it to do, I meant it to do, or God will change his mind. No. Our Father in heaven is most assuredly pleased with his only beloved Son. He's most assuredly accepted this sacrifice. He's most assuredly sealed with the ultimate blessing by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That when Christ said, it is finished, it was truly finished. The work he has been sent to do to this world as the Savior of sinners is complete in its, in as much as it is his finished work on Calvary's cross. The Lord Jesus knew then when his cup of suffering had been fully drunk. The statement reveals the perfect timing of Christ's suffering and his death. He didn't die too soon, and he didn't die too late. He died perfectly in time with God's will. And the Lord Jesus knew when his cup of suffering had been drunk. The Lord Jesus knew when his Father was fully satisfied. The transaction was complete, the debt fully paid, the command fully accomplished, the eternal salvation of all those who trust in him depends upon the timing of his death. If Jesus had given up his spirit too soon, he couldn't say it is finished. But there was no hesitation with our Lord Jesus as he comes out of those awesome 3 hours of darkness. And he said, I thirst, and they received the sour wine. He immediately says, it is finished. It is finished. These words could only come when God's justice had been satisfied. Nothing left out, no sin unaccounted for the past, the present, and the future. All is encompassed in these words, it is finished. Nothing has been forgotten. Oh, dear friend, this evening, if you have been led to put your trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and Satan is saying to you, oh, but just by the way, I appreciate he might say these deceitful words as an angel of light. Oh, I appreciate. Oh, God, Jesus may well have died for 99.9% of your sins, but this one problem you had in your life, maybe that nobody else knows about. Are you sure that Jesus Christ has died for that? Yes. It is finished. You tell Satan, your Jesus said, it is finished. And everything is wrapped up in these wonderful words. It is finished. Our life is wrapped up in it is finished. Our lives leave a trail of unfinished business. But there's no unfinished business in this transaction. It is finished. May God help us by his Holy Spirit to rest by faith this evening on these wonderful words of Jesus Christ. But then thirdly, the statement of Jesus reveals the capability of Christ's suffering and death. One of the great messages which come from the cross at Calvary is the capability of Christ. See, he alone was capable of making peace for sinners with God. We are not capable, but Jesus is. He alone was capable of providing the perfect sacrifice for sinners unto God. He alone was capable of knowing exactly when God's justice had been satisfied. It is finished. Rest by faith then in this statement this evening. This statement also shows the perfect fulfillment of Christ's suffering and death. You see, faith believes and trusts in the all-sufficiency of Christ's death. Nothing to be added. Now, the reason I mention this again is because ever since that perfect sacrifice was made, men have cast dark shadows over its effectiveness and sufficiency. Very soon on, in the early New Testament church, there were those that came along and said, yes, sir, you believe in Jesus, all very good, but you've got to add all the ceremonies as well to this sacrifice. It must be Jesus plus. It's Jesus plus ceremonies. It's Jesus plus adherence to this or to that. But one of the wonderful truths that were returned to at the Reformation was Christ alone. Christ alone. Don't let that dark shadow cross over your life and stay there. Let faith blow it away as a shadow from your mind. It is finished. There is nothing can be added and nothing can be taken away from this sacrifice. The Apostle Paul, who met Jesus personally, the Apostle Paul, who was blinded by the glory of Jesus Christ when he met with him, the proud Paul, who was known as Saul before he was converted, was on his way to Damascus to capture more Christians. He was in control. He was a man of action. He was a religious leader. He was looked up to. He was sorting out these nuisances. He was sorting out these Christians. He wasn't had anything to do with this man, Jesus of Nazareth. But Jesus of Nazareth met Paul on the road to Damascus. It only took one meeting. It only took a very short while. The glory of Jesus Christ overwhelmed Paul, and he falls down on his face. And the Apostle Paul wrote later, God forbid in my life that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And people are constantly telling you to add something to your faith. You have to do it this way and that way. Only then can you really be acceptable unto God. But the gospel says it's Jesus only. It is finished. Rest by faith in this statement. God's holy law has been perfectly fulfilled in Christ. Jesus is the only person who can truly say, I have perfectly fulfilled all that was required of me. There have been no shortcuts in my life, no unfinished business, no prevarication, no add-ons, just perfect fulfillment of all that I set out to do. Now you know how it is when we prepare a plan for a building. The drawings are approved, there's a bill of quantities, and the builder sets about his task. Inevitably, though, there are changes that are made in the specification. And to keep within the budget, cuts often need to be made. Well, we budgeted a certain amount for this project, and we realise we're running over. What to do? Well, we have to cut some of the particular aspects of the project. Or maybe the customer makes additions to the plan. In its original form, the plan then is not perfectly fulfilled. It's either been taken away from or it's been added to. Alternatively, we have known substandard materials used. I know that this has been the case in India and quite a lot, where substandard concrete has been used and people are going over the flyovers and the flyovers collapse. Or they looked okay. They looked as though they had been built according to the plan, but the materials that were used were not reliable. But God's holy plan and God's commands in his law have been perfectly fulfilled in Christ. It is finished. And then this statement reveals the perfect outcome of Christ's suffering and death. Here is one thing in your life. Here is one statement in your life this evening, which provides for you a certain and guaranteed outcome. This statement. Millions of people, billions of people in fact, spend their life dependent upon uncertainties, in the mistaken hope that they are certain. But the cross provides the perfect outcome. It provides us an eternally assured outcome. It is finished, tells us this evening, that there is a perfect reconciliation made between the sinner and God as they trust only in the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So we read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." That's where we are. By nature. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." It is finished. There is this pathway now of reconciliation between the sinner and God in the work and person of Jesus Christ. This statement also means that there is an assured access to the throne of grace. This is one of the most remarkable wonders of salvation, that we as needy sinners can come to the very throne of God, described as the throne of grace, whereby we can find grace and mercy to help in time of need. When Jesus cried, "It is finished," something happened in the temple. The grand temple, the temple which the Jewish leaders took so much delight in. And they walked around the temple and they said, "The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. This is our building. This is why we're different from everyone else. This is Jerusalem. This is our edifice. This is the temple. This is the center of all religion. And do you not know that at the end there is a curtain? And no one can go through that curtain but once a year, the high priest, on behalf of the people. And that depicts the holiness of God. There's no other a place like it on earth. This is the temple. And if you want to have access to God, If you want to be right with God, you need to become a Jew. You need to conform to the Jewish religious rites and ceremonies. And only then can you have a possibility to consider yourself right with God. And when Christ cried, "It is finished," we read, "Behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split." And Jesus, when he said, "It is finished," and that awesome event took place, was saying, actually, surely, most assuredly, the only way to be right with God is through the person and work of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's a way into the veil through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the way. All that had gone before in the Jewish types and ceremonies were but a picture. Not the actual, they were but a picture of the forthcoming only way to God through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And of course the Jewish leaders thought it was the reality. The symbolism, the types and the ceremonies had become the real thing to them. It was what they depended upon totally. And so when people turned to Jesus in their thousands, and they realized that this is the way, the truth and the life, that he is the one, then there was a great persecution. But it is finished. Jesus is the only way to God. And then this statement confirms the foundation upon which eternal life can be assured. If we turn on to Ephesians in chapter 1 and in verse 7, Paul speaks about the wonderful truth of the sovereignty of God that we accept by faith. And then in verse 7 he says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he has made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him." Our eternal life is assured by the finished work of Jesus Christ as we trust in him. "It is finished." These are the most wonderful words this evening. Oh, our eternity depends upon the truth of these words. But then this statement confirms the perfect transaction of Christ's suffering and death. The sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary were actually a perfect revelation of the character and yet the heart of God. Firstly, Calvary reveals the awesome holiness of God, who must punish sin and must receive complete justice. The cross is the revelation to the world of what happens when God in his holiness and justice comes head to head with sin. There is a crisis. The storm of God's wrath and his perfect holiness comes down upon his Son, who bore our sin, for the sin of all those who put their trust in him. And we read, he was smitten of God. God the Father looked down upon his Son in wrath because his Son was carrying that burden of sin according to God's will. But he took that burden to Calvary's cross, and because Christ became sin for us who knew no sin, that we through him might be forgiven and cleansed and made peace with God, Christ had to be smitten of God. And when we think that we can play fast and loose with sin, we need to go to Calvary and see the Son of God made man, smitten of God, and darkness falls over all the earth when Jesus cries, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" as he comes to the end of that time of darkness. The cross defines the awfulness and the problem of sin. The noise of the thunder, God's creative voice of holiness. When you next hear the thunder, let creation speak to you this evening. When you next hear a thunderstorm, it can be awesome. And it can be symbolized as the voice of God's holiness. The holiness of God coming head to head with sin. Secondly, though, not only does Calvary, Christ on Calvary, reveal the holy character of God, the just character of God, it reveals the heart of God, the love of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And here at the cross, the true depth and meaning and power of God's love is demonstrated. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Oh, the love of God manifest at Calvary. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And when the Apostle Paul went to Corinth, what a challenging situation he found there. He faced an ungodly and hostile situation. We read he felt totally inadequate in and of himself. And he reminds the church at Corinth how weak he felt on his first visit. What was his experience? What was the policy of the Apostle Paul in such a situation? Reaching out to an ungodly world? Did he compromise? Did he say, well, actually what we need to do is get alongside these people. We need to imbibe some of the world and their practices and their ways. And that way we'll be able to get alongside them, and we'll somehow be able to reach out to them on their territory, on their ground, on their terms, the terms of the world. Was that how Paul evangelized? No. Paul says, I was fearful, I trembled, but my confidence is in the sovereignty and the power of God. He said, I determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. And what was this blessed gospel he preached? What did he preach to the church, to the people at Corinth, wherein a church was ultimately formed? He preached the gospel, and he told them what he preached to them. Moreover, brethren, he said, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you at such a time as this, which you also received, and wherein you stand now firm, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Oh, Paul's Christ-centered message was a biblical message. He didn't depart from the word of God. He didn't depart from Christ. He just simply preached the Christ of the word of God. And God blessed his message. Let us worship and adore the person of the cross, who cried, "It is finished." His perfection, his condescension, his submission to God's will, his obedience to God the Father's will, his compassion upon needy sinners, his patience with sinners, his wisdom, his humility, his meekness, his teaching, his love, his grace, the example of his prayers, his authority, his leadership, his miracles. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is enough in him for meditation for time and eternity. He is all glorious as the Saviour. And it was none other than the perfect and holy Son of God made man, who was crucified on the cross for sinners like me and like you. And so here is the one safe place of refuge this evening. In a world of turmoil, in a world of terror, in a world where we don't know wherever we can be safe. Here is the one refuge. Here is the one safe place and person in which we can trust and glory and proclaim, "It is finished. He has done all on the sinner's behalf. He has accomplished all that was needed. There's no more to be done but simply to trust as sinners in the finished work of Christ. It is finished." It confirms the love of God and the perfect sacrifice provided for us. Finally, this evening, I have a book at home which has hundreds of famous quotations and famous statements. But none of these, however brilliant and clever and wise, provide the assurance that compares with this statement. Amidst the horror and the terror of the cross, there was in the person of Jesus Christ a wonderful dignity displayed. "It is finished." The authority and significance of these words, their never-ending eternal security, depends upon something being finished, something ending. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross has been completed utterly. It is finished. And so this evening, may God help us in the very innermost part of our being to rest only in the Lord Jesus. "It is finished." Rest by faith in this statement. Trust alone in Jesus Christ as your perfect, all-sufficient Saviour. Calvary reveals absolute reasons for trusting in Him.